جدا عملاق.
Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM freakradio.org. On the phone with me right now is Tracy DeAngelis. She just returned from Palestine, the West Bank. Tracy, you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here, Bob. I can hear you fine.
Good. Can you let us know what group you're with? You just returned from Palestine recently. And let us know your experience and what happened there.
I did. I actually went with a group called the Interfaith Peace Builders, who was doing this delegation in conjunction with the National Peace Foundation, and there were about 16 of us on the delegation for a little longer than 2 weeks.
And what did you guys do?
We met over the two-week period. We met with about 13 Israelis with their organizations and 14 Palestinians who represented refugee camps, people living inside 48 Palestine, people living in the West Bank. We met with some Israelis who are living on kibbutz. We met with people down in Sederot, which is the town that actually is often the victims of the rockets that come out of Gaza. We met with a gentleman named Omar Barghouti, who's heading up the BDS campaign. We met with Combatants for Peace, which is an organization of both ex-IOF combat soldiers and ex-Palestinian militant fighters. We met with, like I said, one of the last social far-left-leaning kibbutz that borders Gaza, mostly older Israelis who are working with folks in Gaza to try to bring attention to what happens in Gaza. It was a really well-rounded interaction with people throughout the country who are working towards, mostly towards getting information out about what's happening on the ground and how things are changing quickly. And, I mean, I have so much to say. I just returned and haven't really had a chance to put a presentation together, so maybe if you just ask me particular questions, I could try to answer them.
Well, first of all, tell us what sticks out in your mind right now, and, you know, what happened there.
Well, I think for me, there's two out of the 14 days that stay with me the most, and the actual, the strongest component is the tour of East Jerusalem that we had by the Israeli coalition called Israeli Coalition Against House Demolitions. That was actually on the first day of the delegation, and we had a young man by the name of Yahav, an Israeli, take us around East Jerusalem, which now has, there are at least 1,200 Palestinian homes who have demolition orders. But what's most disturbing about this is the settlement expansion that is planned for East Jerusalem. We actually were taken into Ma'ale Adumim, which is the largest settlement in the West Bank. It takes up about 30 square miles. And the plans for expanding there are in place, and this would literally cut the West Bank in half. And for those of you who aren't clear what I mean by the West Bank is 22% of historical Palestine, and that's what is being discussed as the future state for Palestine, which, in my view, with the facts on the ground now and with what's being planned, it's an impossible task, because within that 22%, there are already over 400,000 illegal settlers living within that land, and there are what are called settlement blocks, which Ma'ale Adumim is one of the settlement blocks, which are in the midst of expanding, and what you hear terms such as natural growth, and these are the areas that they're mostly looking to expand, are these large settlement blocks. That's one thing, and the other thing that stands out, you know, that's sort of like the real, the biggest, I think, obstacle to
settlements.
A two-state solution are the settlements and the plans in place. Now, on the flip side of that is the gentleman by the name of Omar Barghouti, who we spent a great deal of time with about the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign that has been underway since about 2004, and it is a growing movement, and I could say a lot about that, but suffice it to say It is a growing movement. Some of the examples he gave us is last year was the 60-year anniversary of the State of Israel, and the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions program was able to change a few minds. Snoop Dogg, the hip-hop artist, has a manager who's a Palestinian-American, and they were able to talk him out of coming to perform inside Israel, as did Bono, as did the Rolling Stones, as did Russell Banks, who is a writer, and scores of other people who may not be vocal about it, but behind the scenes, we were told that these people, once approached by the BDS campaign inside Palestine, did make a choice not to perform inside Israel. And that's just one example of the type of work that they're doing. They're working with trade unions. They're working in the faith-based communities. The Church of Sweden was able to pull two Swedish companies out of working on the settlements. There's a light rail that's coming through the city of Jerusalem that will transport the settlers into the Holy City. Just recently, there's an Italian company called the Viola Company, which, by the way, this light rail is considered a war crime under the Geneva Convention. The Viola Company has just pulled out within the last maybe 10 days.
Right.
So the pressure from the BDS campaign is working. Heineken, which also supplies beer to the settlements throughout the West Bank, has also recently pulled out. So there's a lot happening in the BDS movement.
That's something you don't hear about much at all. I haven't heard about that at all. This is the first I've heard of all those companies.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually there's one quote that Omar Barghouti, a Palestinian from the West Bank, at a APEC conference on May 7th, his quote was, Howard Kaur is his name. His quote was, I fear the BDS movement is reaching American mainstream. So that's what they're fearing, is when the American public finally gets a little bit better information and understanding of what's going on in Palestine, in the West Bank, with American dollars, that's when this thing can take a big shift. And I do think that is the one bright spot of this delegation, was the work that's going on the ground behind BDS. That's where I think the focus really needs to shift to.
I also saw a story on Al Jazeera about people that are suing the construction companies, coming after them for the settlement building.
Yeah, you're talking about the Canadian lawsuit?
Yeah.
With the bill, we actually went to we actually did a homestay in that village, the village of Belin, in the district of Ramallah, which, as you probably know, Bob, they have been doing Friday demonstrations every single Friday for the last 4 years. They're nonviolent. They're very creative. Unfortunately, as in many other villages throughout the West Bank, the wall is in place there. They have been cut off from their land. They have recently lost a member of their village, Bassem Abu Rahmi, back in April. He was shot in the chest with a high-velocity tear gas canister. We actually went and visited his family. This village is strong, and they did file this lawsuit, and you're absolutely right, Canada is responding. So the unfortunate thing, like you said, Bob, is most Americans don't hear this. They don't know what's really going on the ground. And the best part about this delegation is I went with a group of 14 other people who were from 10 different states, six generations of people. We had somebody as young as 22 and two women as old as 73, like I said, throughout 10 different states of the United States. And I could see the transformation taking place, just the ability to get yourself to the West Bank, to Israel, and to listen to the people who are living through this occupation. You cannot refute that what's happening is it's a war crime. I mean, it has to stop. It cannot continue. I don't have any idea how this will be resolved, because, in my opinion, there is no viable two-state solution. It's impossible at this point, and that's mostly because of the settlements. There's going to be no way that 400 plus thousand settlers are going to move out of the West Bank. So
I understand that you also visited, I can't remember his name right now, the American that got shot in the face.
Tristan
Anderson.
That was something that Lisa Nessen and I did after the rest of the delegates left. We stayed on an extra 6 days. Yeah, we did go into the hospital in Tel Aviv, and we spent about 4 hours with his parents, who are two of the most gracious people I've ever met. We also spent a little bit of time with his girlfriend, Gabby, who was mostly just in the room with Tristan. We went in and said hello to Tristan, who's wasn't conscious, but who the family believes could hear us. They don't want a lot of information about his situation going out into the public, so I'm going to remain quiet on that. But
right.
Suffice it to say, his family really appreciates all the support. There have been lots of emails pouring into them, lots of monetary support. They just rented an apartment for 6 months because they are finally realizing that this is going to be a long haul. And they did ask us to bring back to Barbara Lee, which we are trying to get a meeting with Barbara Lee, two things. One, to press for an international investigation, because when Israel investigates itself in situations like this, as you know, Bob, most of the time no reprimand is given to the soldiers responsible for this this and others. Basim,
right.
Abu Rahmi, there has been no outside investigation. And to stop the use of these high-velocity tear gas canisters,
That are not supposed to be shot in people's faces.
Exactly.
Which is what the Israeli army did.
They did. They shot Tristan in the head, they shot Abu Rahmi in the chest, and 2 days after we left the Erege of Bilin and Nailin, another young man was killed with another high velocity. Actually, that may have been a live bullet. I don't remember. But the point is they are shooting into these nonviolent demonstrations. They are injuring people. They are killing people. And so one of the big messages that Tristan's parents wanted us to bring to Barbara Lee was to press for these weapons to cease to be used at any demonstration. Palestinians have the right under international law to resist their occupiers. They're choosing to do so in a nonviolent way. All I can say about Tristan is he's a strong human being, and as much as people can follow what's going on with his case, put pressure on Barbara Lee, who's here in Oakland. I don't have her email, but it's pretty easy to look up her email. I think she'll be responsive. From what I understand, she has been trying to look into this, but I think gentle pressure on her will not allow her to give up.
And we're talking with Tracy DeAngelis here. She just got back from Palestine as part of the Interfaith Peace Builders group.
Yes.
And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about that. We're going to play actually an Al Jazeera story about Bilin.
Great.
That they did exclusive. And,
great. And I really appreciate you, Bob. I mean, I don't feel prepared at all for this interview. I've got pages and pages and pages of notes that I just received back in the mail. I don't know if folks know that sometimes when you leave the state of Israel, which we left through Israel, they will confiscate your belongings, and so to be on the safe side, we had to mail back any Palestine paraphernalia for fear that they would take it from us and throw it out at the airport. So
wow.
I just received my notes and my photos and everything yesterday, so I haven't had a chance to do any of that. I'd like to talk with you again in the future when I've got my thoughts more.
Let's do that. Maybe you can come into the studio.
Yeah, I would really like that. Free Radio has always been a beacon for me and a place that I look to listen for information and to get information out. So I will definitely be in touch, and I appreciate your time and concern and interest.
All right. Hang on the line 1 second,
okay.
If you can do that.
Sure.
And we're going to go with this story from Al Jazeera about Bilin, Operation Ear Infection Show, Free Radio.
Construction continues at the Israeli settlement Metat Yahu East, built illegally on land belonging to the residents of Bilayin, a small town west of Ramallah. International law considers all settlements illegal, yet they provide a lucrative business opportunity for international companies cashing in on Israel's unprecedented settlement expansion in the occupied West Bank. That's why Bilayin activists are now taking their anti-settlement fight abroad. They're suing Greenmount International and Green Park International, two Canadian companies contracted to build in Metatiahu East in a Montreal court, where the companies are registered.
We are aiming that these settlements, these companies, stop the construction, the illegal construction, and also to pull out or to withdraw all their investment in the land of Palestine, because they are working in a Palestinian land. They are the same of the occupiers. So we want to stop the international occupation to Palestine by these two companies.
Bilayin activists know this is the beginning of what could be a long and costly legal process that could end in failure, but they're willing to take their chances. For 4 years now, they have championed popular resistance against Israel's illegal wall and settlements in the occupied West Bank. This court case, they say, is just opening up another front.
The Israeli cabinet recently approved $250 million to invest in Israeli settlements like this one. So while the residents of Bilayin are trying to stop international companies from profiting from this illegal construction, they're also hoping there will be enough international pressure to push Israel into changing its illegal policies.
Many hope the lawsuit will add momentum to growing international calls for a complete Israeli freeze on settlements. This is not a battle of choice, Palestinians say. It's the only way to help save their aspirations for statehood from a reality that imposes itself on their lives, house by house. Nuradi Al Jazeera, Bilayin.
Where attitude changes.
The road at this point is blocked by these masked protesters.
Where progress is achieved.
Banking is the game of sound.
Where the consequences are felt.
Another burial, another grave in family. Every day, people are being murdered here.
This is Al Jazeera.
Listen to Al Jazeera news reports on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM, freakradio.org, between 7:30 and 8 a.m. weekdays. Also on the weekly World Review Sundays at 1 p.m. Free Radio Santa Cruz, unlicensed independent radio since 1995.
Well, the people of Gaza have faced a war and been besieged by Israel. So in an effort to express their grief and resilience, a group of rappers from the Gaza Strip are getting the word out, the only way they know how. Casey Kaufman has been to meet them.
Gaza, a place of destruction, but also creation. Ayman's been making music for years, but the recent Israeli war here has changed him, his music, and his resolve. Ayman and Motaz call themselves the Palestinian Rappers, and they record here in Gaza's best studio.
For our situation, it's professional, I said. Actually, we should invite one day Jay-Z or Eminem to rap here.
When Ayman isn't rapping about injustice and national pride, he's at university. He feels it's important to rap in his own language, but he's completing a degree in English.
To communicate with other people outside in Europe and in the United States, we need English.
Ayman's drive to bring his rap to the world has taken on a new dimension. His home was hit hard during the war, and that's when his life changed. His father took a direct hit and was killed.
This is my father. He got killed in this apartment. They threw four rockets, two of them, while we were inside. I tried to get out of my room. My father called us and he said, "No one get out, stay where you are." He finished his sentence, then they shot the other rocket. Then we couldn't hear anything from him. After that, he died. And I buried him with my brother in the 16th of January, which is my birthday.
Ayman comes back often to his apartment to remember his father. And his memory now inspires his songwriting.
We used to smoke shisha over here.
Here in this place, I can get the whole feelings, I can get the whole emotion in this song, because this song, I feel like it's something, it has to be perfect. I just want it to be perfect for him. Something from the son to the father, to his soul, not to him.
Ayman's father steered his children away from violence and towards education. His son, though, now wants to fight, and his weapons are his words.
فوق الصبر أنا صبرت صبر مش مخير أنا مجبر أرفض سلام. This means after what happened here to my place and to my dad, it's not optional for me to refuse or accept the peace. I'm gonna refuse it no matter what. There's no peace with Israel. This is the thing that I got it from this war. There's no peace with Israel.
Ayman knows that he needs to get out of Gaza to promote his music. But until the borders open, he will keep on rapping from Gaza in hope that the world hears him. Casey Kaufman, Al Jazeera, Gaza.
عايشين ورا سجون البنود اللي سجنين لنا ما يتغير مش حاسين ولا نور الا سياج منها احنا شايفين سما لونا ازرق غيمة ابيض بالنص جمال زكراك انت بغيرك انا صامت عايش متفائل ما تعزل مني الامل بيجي ضار فاصل السور يدور انا مربوط فلسطين كجنين لحبل الطابور بالارض جذور شجر زيتون ضل يتولد وتجدد وتجدد غصون كل غصن ممدود للسلام كل غصن معروض لاحتلال ما يريد استسلام ليه انا اللي ما اله حرية لاني انا رافض اني اعيش بعبودية
وين ما رح بشوف حدود سجن الانساني لاطفال العالم حرة وانا مالي حرية وين ما رح بشوف حدود سجن الانساني لاطفال العالم حرة وانا مالي حرية
احنا بندور على السلام بين قوات حرب رواد حرب معهم صرنا اولاد حرب نطلب الحرية من السجون المعنية انه نكون معيون اللي دايما معمية من التفرج اطفال العالم الحرة دايما ضل بتدحرج للحياة المرة قوانا شاطرين بس بتبهرج الكلام كلهم مخدين تخرج بتعرج الاوطان واحنا نستعمل قوة عشان الضعف بنتحمل الموت عشان الحياة عملنا بلطف ومش بعسف للحياة انولدنا ولما لقيناها مش بيدينا جربنا نخدها فمتنا وكل اللي طلبناه كان نفس واللي ضحينا عشانه برضو كان نفس انت قولي ليش اطفال العالم حرة وانا مالي انا مالي حرية
وين ما رح بشوف حدود سجن الانساني لاطفال العالم حرة وانا مالي حرية وين ما رح بشوف حدود سجن الانساني لاطفال العالم حرة وانا مالي حرية
انا بدي اعيش عروكة بيت وانا بدي اموت عاجلا وانا لساتي شايف الاحتلال مادد ايده مش للسلام مش مساواة بل تيديني حبل مش لقى
كمان مش ظلام
وجدار اللي فاصل
بيني وبين اهلي
ما مخليني اشوف ضوي السماء ام الواحد وخمسين ولاية تربي كمان ولاية اللي تربى على حساب غيرها متأثرة من امها الهنود الحرة متأملة تمحينا تغسل دماغنا تقولنا انه المشكلة هي احنا
بس حتى جيوش العالم كلها ما بيقدر على الحرية
نريد جيلا غاضبا جدا عملاق.